Okay, I'd like to reconvene this meeting of the Oregon Board of Forestry and welcome everybody back to our virtual meeting room. I'd also like to remind members of the public that if you would like to submit written testimony, which we welcome for environmental item or informational items presented at this meeting for the record, please send your comments in by March 24th so that they can be included in the record of this meeting. To ensure that we meet a quorum for today's business, we'll do our roll call. Joe Justice.
Here.
Jim Kelly.
Here.
Brenda McComb.
Here.
And I'm Tom Imeson. I'm here. So we have a quorum. With that, is there a motion to accept the consent agenda items A through E?
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the consent items as presented.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Jim Kelly seconds. Any further discussion? Not. We'll have a roll call for that item. Joe Justice.
Aye.
Jim Kelly.
Aye.
Brenda McComb.
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. So the consent agenda is approved and we'll now move to item four, the State Forester's opening comments. Peter Doherty.
Thank you, Tom. Good afternoon and welcome back. It's been a couple of busy months since our January meeting with an emergency board meeting, the start of the legislative session, our natural and cultural resource recovery efforts, and all our regular core business, including prepping for the fire season while still in a pandemic. As I mentioned at the January meeting, the third 2020 special session allocated $100 million for state wildfire recovery, prevention, and preparedness. Of that $100 million, $32 million was allocated to ODF, specifically for wildfire preparedness, aircraft, boots on the ground, and work in fire-adapted communities and resilient landscapes. The emergency board did meet shortly after the board meeting and approved our request for the amount that we thought we could reasonably implement by the end of the biennium. And if you'll recall, we requested $13 million for the remainder of the biennium, $5 million for our aviation program. Again, that would help us put on daily contracts, a next-gen air tanker, one heavy helicopter, and two more single-engine air tankers. We also requested $3 million in personnel for the fire program, 25 full-time positions and 16.75 full-time equivalents and seasonals. And then there was $5 million to do fuels reduction work and across all lands under a shared stewardship approach for fire-adapted communities and resilient landscapes. So that came to fruition. And so we rapidly look at our, you know, it's a fairly big workload to hire some 32 full-time limited duration positions. The seasonals won't add that much work because they're really just additional hours for our seasonals we hire normally. But we came up with a process of prioritizing those emergency board positions and moved very quickly to get them out. And I believe the majority of them are out on the street or already have been hired. Our partnership and planning program, particularly our Federal's Initiatives Unit, stepped up and submitted a call for projects with a close date of February 3rd for projects that fell into two categories. One was actual implementation, so really execution of shovel-ready projects on public or private lands, or federal projects solely that have already been through the NEPA process that involved thinning fuels and defensible space treatments, restoration projects that contribute to forest health, fire resilience, and other projects that contribute to a landscape more resilient to disturbance or improves watershed health. Or planning projects, so surveys, data collection, or other analysis that accelerates the completion of planning for forest restoration projects. So building on the kind of two legs or three legs of the stool we use in our federal forest restoration program. And it was a very fast turnaround time for this. Over 80 projects were submitted. We have awarded funding to 30 projects for $4 million out of the legitimate $18 million that was requested in that very short period of time. We weren't so sure going into this whether we could get it spent in time. It looks like we could have maybe got more spent, except we probably wouldn't have had enough people to oversee them. And so the demand is really there for this kind of work. So the legislation session has started. So far, 2,405 bills have been filed and we're tracking about 670 of those, and about 30 of them are priority and one and twos. It's starting a little bit slower and sort of sorting out where bills are going this session. There's a six related to the forest harvest products tax. One of those six is our bill that was filed on behalf of the governor. Our regular forest harvest tax bill. There's a couple others that are very similar. One makes a harvest tax permanent, so it's not reconsidered every 2 years. And then there's a couple others that make more substantive changes, in particular adding severance tax or eliminating the harvest tax and changing programs. They were just having hearings that they were wrapping up this week in the House Ag and Natural Resources on it. We provided testimony at two of those hearings, one just as sort of general invited information about what the harvest tax does, and then one to support our bill. There's 12 or so related to fire protection, including topics from prescribed fire mitigation and preparedness and response. One of those is the governor's bill, which was resurrected kind of from the 2020 short session, implementing the governor's wildfire recommendation. There are supposed to be several others in preparation from Senator Golden and other bills, but we haven't, that's just starting to happen more so now, but that will really engage our conversation there. So I think at this point, more to see which bills really get legs and going forward. I know Lena has been sending out the update, the bill tracking sheet we have, and feel free to contact her if you have any questions. And as we get more, we'll look for opportunities, and particularly as our budget bill comes up, in the what natural resource ways and means, we'll reach out for support from the board. The last thing I want to talk about is the work of the Natural and Cultural Resource Recovery Task Force. As you know, I think recall it's being chaired by ODF, DEQ, and OEB. So Kyle's our representative on it. Keith Anderson from DEQ and Renee Davis from OEB are all leading that effort. They've completed the assessment synthesis, and it covers 10 fires. Four of these fires had the more detailed FEMA assessment on non-federal lands. Those were Archie, Beachy Creek, Holiday Farm, and Riverside, so four of the really big ones. The remaining six fire areas, 242, Alameda, Branton, Echo Mountain, South Oberchain, and White River, relied on the BEAR, or the U.S. Forest Service and BLM assessments, plus a water quality drinking water supply resource report by DEQ that estimated impacts. The assessment synthesis identifies actions and identifies post-fire impacts and high priority actions needed in the next 2 years to address and mitigate impacts to natural resources that present risk in two critically important categories: human life and safety, and the protection of drinking water and source water supply areas. So the team came to our executive team, and those seem to make the most sense for the highest priority actions to take over the next 2 years. The integrated assessment has pretty detailed breakout by fire of where the action needs to be taken and what action. But if you look across all fires, there are some common themes. So culvert replacement, repair, cleaning, and storm proofing of roads is one area. Hazard tree removal, and then removal of navigation hazards, closure of high-risk areas and posting of warning signs, community alert warning systems, that's been a big issue, more geotechnical analysis of at-risk areas. They, you know, these assessments go pretty quickly, but really identifying those areas risk. It's a fairly long list: seedling and erosion control, invasive species, surveys and control, riparian and upland planting and establishment, riparian restoration plan development, floodplain restoration and reconnection, protection and repair of drinking water intakes, monitoring of drinking water supplies, and then septic repair and replacement. Over the next 2 years, the cost estimate for these actions is $86 million. And, you know, it really goes, if you start thinking about all the other costs that are coming out of just the Labor Day fires in 1 year, it really begs the question of why aren't we investing more up front in terms of avoiding these kinds of effects. The task force developed this estimate at the request of Matt Garrett, who is the governor's wildfire recovery director, has been brought in under special assignment to do that work. And we've just been invited to present the results to the legislature, I believe next Monday. And I am confident my staff will have me prepared for whatever I will be saying there. The Natural Resource Agencies have also collaborated on a request to the congressional delegation, and we got that request simultaneously with a request from Matt. And this is around the federal infrastructure bill that is in progress in Washington. That request is for $545 million. It includes the $86 million for those ones I've just talked about, but it also now includes recreation, hatcheries, and then U.S. Forest Service needs for both natural and built infrastructure. And so just a large amount of work done by three people who have full-time jobs doing other things than the support staff around them. So it's just really nice work. And with that, I'll answer any questions you may have.
Questions from board members or any comments from board members?
I'd like to make just a quick comment on another issue. This is in the Department of give credit where credit is due. And when I was first a board member a little over 2 years ago, Oregon Forest Resources Institute I did a presentation and also gave us their little fact book that they did. And at the time, I chided them somewhat on not including anything about climate change. And I thought that that hurt their credibility. And they just came out with a new one, which I have looked at. And they've got good information about climate change, good information about carbon, their Trees to Tap report, and all of that. And it seems like they're doing a good job. And I just wanted to give them a little credit.
Great. Thank you. Any other comments?